Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hi, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all, Season 9, Episode 203. I'm Adam Walker.
And I am Sanjay Parekh.
And as usual, this episode is brought to you by Together Letters. If you want to stay connected to the people that are important to you in your life, and you don't want to be tracked mercilessly by social media companies, you should sign up for Together Letters. Groups of 10 or less are always free.
And we just rolled out some new features that got live this last weekend. So it's fancy
even
and
better.
Shiny new.
And still freer. It's free and freer.
It's
freer and freer and freer. So listen, I'm not even going to give you an overview of what's in this episode. We're going to dive in because we have a lot of articles and some amazing weird and wackies. But I'm very excited about the first one because we're from Atlanta and these are some good guys. Intuit to acquire MailChimp. This is huge.
Boom.
And the amount was, if I'm not mistaken, right, $12 billion. Is that right?
You were supposed to put your pinky up to your mouth when you said
$12 billion.
$12 billion.
Yeah. Man, yeah. It is, I mean, this is unreal. And so
they're saying
if I'm
it's
wrong.
The largest bootstrap company exit ever.
Yeah, so let's just define that. Bootstrapped is in. They never took venture capital, never took funding. It's still owned. Is it owned only by those two guys? Like, are they still the only stakeholders?
Yes, I think so. Their company structure is not public because it's a private company.
Right.
But as far as we know, it is the two co-founders, Ben and Dan, who are friends and we're very happy for them. But looking back at the history of it, they actually had a third co-founder, two, and that co-founder left at some point.
Okay.
And I think they bought that third co-founder out.
Man, that person has to be hating life right now.
Yeah. You know? I was like, well, I don't know. They probably got to do a lot of things over the last 20 years other than worry about this business. So
maybe
you got to look at it that way. You hear these stories often, right? Like there was the third person at Apple that said like, no, I don't want the shares. You keep the shares and left. And now it's like, oh, you walked away from like, I don't know, $80 billion or some ridiculous amount of money. So,
wow.
You know, man. It happens. You make your choices. Them. It's okay. Life goes on.
This is exciting. I mean, I've met these guys before. You know, they're local Atlanta guys, which is pretty great. In fact, I don't know if you know, but you know, MailChimp started as a web design shop and they created this tool for their clients and then turned the tool into a thing. And honestly, it turned it out great for them. And MailChimp, I mean, it was kind of the standard for email marketing for a long, long time. So, you know, props to them on a great exit. It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I've heard some other people talk about it and how MailChimp was actually the one that solved a lot of those problems early on that helped create an entire industry, right? Like
it did.
Focusing on deliverability and dealing with spam and like all of these things that they have really been on the forefront for. And I got to say, one thing that I don't think they get a credit for is how much security is involved in what they do, that they have never had a breach up until now. Like I've looked at other ESPs, email service providers, that have all had breaches. And I don't think that there has ever been one at MailChimp.
Not that we're aware of.
Yeah. And they were very kind of forward thinking in that. They hired Kevin Mitnick many years ago. I went to a talk that MailChimp had with Kevin Mitnick. Ben had invited me to go to that, and it was a horrifically scary talk because of all the things that Kevin was able to do. Like he got a volunteer from, I did not raise my hand, but he got a volunteer from the audience who's a MailChimp employee. All he got was their name and like one other piece of information. And like within minutes, he had found out all of this information about them. And I was just like, oh my God, this is terrifying.
Is that what made you into a security minded individual? Like you left that event and you were like, I've got to erase myself from the internet. Is that what happened?
No, I was already somewhat before then, but it made me realize like, oh, I've got a ways to go.
It really pushed you over the edge though, is what I'm hearing you say. Okay. All right.
It took me into a whole nother world of craziness. Talking about craziness, former startup darling Genius, also known as Genius.com, sells to Media Lab for $80 million. Unfortunately, they raised more than $80 million in this effort of building this company. Mm. I am very apprehensive about this sale because I love Genius.com.
Yeah.
I go there not all the time, but fairly regularly when I'm trying to understand what the heck a singer is saying in a song.
Yeah.
and what the
I like their
is.
Integration with Spotify. So, you know, where Spotify overlay lyrics from genius.com and they explain the song and backgrounds and all that kind of stuff too. It's pretty great. I really appreciate that for it. So I hope they stay around.
I've looked at that a few times, but it's a little distracting because then it's like, I can't do anything other than just read this thing because I want to know everything that it has to say.
You can only do it for specific songs.
Yeah, exactly. It's like pop-up video for Spotify if you've never seen it before.
Yeah.
And do you remember pop-up video? I love pop-up video.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right? The VH1 where they
And they'd explain things and all the stuff about the song. Yeah.
Yeah, a little trivia. I watched VH1, man.
Listen.
I'm just making sure you had this look on your face like you didn't know what pop-up video
was. I was thinking about the next article. Thank you very much. Oh,
okay,
so,
okay. What's the next article?
Next article, Canva. Raises at a $40 billion valuation. Its founders are pledging away most of their wealth. So Canva started actually earlier than I thought. It was like 2012, 2013. They started as basically an online design tool to make design easy and not so complicated and difficult. I mean, I've been a user for years. It's fantastic. I'm such a Canva fan. And so this quote from the article really stood out to me. Perkins and whose name I'm not the O something. I'm not going to even try to pronounce their name.
Obrecht
are now pledging to give away 30% of Canva, which is the vast majority of their stakes, to the Canva Foundation to be used for charitable causes. So, I mean, it's a great company, obviously run by great people, very young, innovative people, and they're giving away a ton of their wealth, which is fantastic.
I also did not know that Canva started in Perth, Australia, and now is in Perth and in Sydney.
Yeah.
And,
you
know, I think, if anything, these stories should tell you, you can start a big company anywhere.
Anywhere. You don't have to be in Silicon Valley.
You don't need to raise money for it either. You're probably better off. You don't have to.
Yeah. Just like, start it up.
There is no one path to making something that is impactful and huge.
That's right.
Like, there is a lot of different ways that you can go about it. So, you know, if you're thinking about starting the next big thing, like, just start. Go for it.
Start today.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Wherever you are, you don't have to be in the ideal location. You don't have to have a ton of money. You don't have to have anything. You just have to have your smarts, your good looks, and your effort and energy to make it all happen. And so with that, somebody that doesn't have the good looks right now, Apple says iOS 14.8 patches iPhone attack that defeated blast door protections. They've actually released updates for all of their devices.
Yeah.
And apparently this was a exploit that was in the wild being used, very targeted, but you didn't have to click on anything and your device could get compromised, which is not ideal.
And that's why we keep our iPhones and iDevices up to date, because otherwise bad things are going to happen. So here's a public service announcement. Update your devices. So speaking of, Mozilla has defeated Microsoft's default browser protections in Windows. So walk me through this one, because I read it, but I'm not sure I followed it.
So maybe this is like, don't keep your Windows up to date, the alternate of the previous one, because then this might break this. So yeah, Microsoft has done this thing that makes it super easy to make the default browser their browser, the Edge browser. It's, you know, one click, you basically tell the browser yes, and then it just does some magic stuff behind the scenes.
Okay.
But Microsoft was not letting anybody else do that same thing. So to make Firefox the default browser, the user had to do a bunch of steps to do that. And Mozilla was like, that's not fair. And so they reverse engineered the whole process and built it into their product and said, like, now you can do that with Firefox too. One click, we'll do all the things and make us your default browser.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go Firefox. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I wonder
what's going to happen here. Because if Microsoft then updates it to prevent that from happening, then is there a case for saying like, hey, you're being anti-competitive and now we're going to sue you?
There sure is.
But could they do it under the guise of like, no, we're doing this because it keeps the user safe? Like, that's what they would probably say. And I don't know.
I think they got to let it ride now. They played their hand. They lost. You got to move on. So
you played your hand and you lost.
Mm-hmm.
So, somebody that has played their hand and maybe is trying not to lose. iRobot Roomba J7 Plus Is that the
that's a great name right there. It's the J7. You don't want the J7. You want the J7 Plus.
J7 Plus.
Yeah.
Robot vacuum uses machine learning to avoid pet poop.
So here's my favorite part of this article. Okay. So it talks about, it's got a camera on the front. It's going to use AI to avoid pet poop. And honestly, I had not really considered this, that like, if you've got a robot vacuum, your pet poops, you don't realize that the robot vacuum runs over the poop and then smears the poop all over the house. That sounds pretty horrifying. So that's cool. But what's great is it talked about how when this is first released.
And it does it randomly because the Roomba just goes wherever.
Oh yeah, everywhere. It's everywhere. Not even it's got streaks all over the place. But what was crazy to me is when it's released, it'll be able to avoid pet poop. But for some reason, it won't be able to avoid shoes. And I'm like, wait, but shoes are bigger than pet poop. Like, you'd think, you know, really? That just seems real strange to me.
It's a finely tuned detector. And it's
apparently only for
poop.
Yeah.
Is it really, though, the fault of the poop, the animal, and not the Roomba smearing it? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think for sure it's the fault of the pet. But yeah, I do as a pet owner and as a Roomba-like vacuum owner. I think we might have a Roomba. I don't remember.
Do you have the J7 Plus, though?
I don't have the J7 Plus. So now I'm going to have to, I've got probably the J7. I need the Plus, obviously. So anyway, speaking of other things that I need, or maybe don't, actually, Litecoin price jumped 20% after hoax linked the cryptocurrency to Walmart. So there was a fake press release that came out that said Walmart was going to start accepting Litecoin. Litecoin jumped 20% based on that. Turns out, it's not true. So there you go. Still not clear where the press release came from exactly.
Yeah, I wish I had Litecoin and had sold it during this jump, but I did not have one of those two things. So.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, well. So. Although, I mean, if we sold during that time, that would have been at the the deficit of somebody that got fooled.
True.
So
that's true.
Bad too. Somebody else that's getting fooled. Vibrations from high-powered motorcycles can damage iPhone cameras, Apple says. So very much like how you were holding your phone wrong because you couldn't make calls and blocking the antenna, you are apparently riding the wrong vehicle and messing up your iPhones.
So here's the thing, right? I read this article and I was like, well, duh. Like, so apparently there are like these attachments that you can like, you know, put your phone on the front of your motorcycle so you can use it for navigation. Okay. That makes sense. But have you seen these motorcycles? Like they're so loud and the vibrations are so intense. You can't expect any electronic device not to malfunction at that point. Like they're not made for this intense vibrations.
Yeah.
Right. So like I read it. I'm like, of course, like, why would you expect anything different? You know?
Yeah. This is. You know what it made me think of? So what the thing that's getting damaged is the gyroscope, which is gyroscopes are very delicate devices.
Right.
I mean, they are hardened, obviously, in phones because we know all of you are out there dropping your phones left and right. And so you can't just have them cracking inside.
Right.
And I say all of you, I do it too, but I've got a case on mine. So, you know, it's all fine. But what this story made me think of was so in olden times, Roman army times, there was this thing where when they come to a bridge, originally they would be marching, right? They would be lockstep marching. And what would happen is that a standing wave gets created in a device like that. And what happens is that gets amplified because it's a standing wave, because it's kind of at the same frequency the whole time. And it's getting stronger and stronger. And basically it would destroy the bridge. So what the Roman army figured out was like, when we come to a bridge, we need to break up our lockstep and then kind of just walk across it so that we, you know, that doesn't happen. That's basically what's happening. I think in these iPhones is that these frequencies are probably at the right frequency that it's causing a standing wave inside of the phone. And it's causing this whole thing to kind of collapse. So there's two things. One, either you don't carry your, you know, keep it in your pocket because you're basically a vibration absorber.
You're going to absorb
it.
Yeah. Right.
Or it's an opportunity for people to come up with mounts that absorb the frequencies of the vibration before they get to the phones.
So, what I really want to know is who's the person that figured out that the Romans needed to not be in lockstep when they came across the bridge? Was it like, all right, group A, you're going to go across in lockstep and probably fall to your death. Group B, you're not going to. Let's see what happens. Like,
I think they were doing the lockstep thing. And then the first time they lost a massive part of their army, they were like, huh, Maybe we need to do something different.
No, so I don't know. I think you're giving them way too much credit. People aren't that smart. They go like, hey, we walked across that bridge and we lost half our army. Let's try that again and try to see why. Like,
I wonder how many armies they lost before they were like, huh, maybe we need to get some researchers on this to figure out what's going on.
As you might have heard, Sanjay and I have a new project called Together Letters. So this episode is brought to you by Together Letters. The idea is simple. Everyone has email. No one wants to log in to another thing, but everyone wants to stay connected. Together Letters uses email to create a collaborative newsletter, keeping groups better connected. Sign up today at togetherletters.com. All right, for our next article, a little good news for some folks. Facebook to buy $100 million worth of unpaid invoices from 30,000 small businesses owned by women and minorities. So this is Facebook basically saying, hey, look, you've got invoices out that people can't pay. That's fine. We'll buy the invoice from you so we can take on that liability and you can continue growing and running your business and not go under based on people owing you money. This is pretty great, right?
Yeah, I think this is good. It's interesting because there are other businesses that do this.
Right.
So I'm also thinking like, is Facebook trying to crater a whole industry that basically helps small businesses with unpaid invoices?
I hadn't thought of that. That's an interesting angle.
I think there might be a negative side to this as well, but
okay.
Look, I mean, it's good. $100 million though does feel kind of low.
Yeah, right?
for somebody like Facebook.
Yeah, for an organization that big, it does feel a little low. I agree, but I mean, if they're going to help 30,000 businesses, I mean, that's pretty decent. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, if this is going to help those businesses not have financial issues or go under, I think it's good. I think it's good for all of us. Obviously, it's good for Facebook because, you know, these people are going to have Facebook pages and things like that. And
it's good because we're talking about it right now. And we normally talk about Facebook in a negative light. And now we're talking about it in a positive light. So you're welcome, Facebook.
A positive-ish light. So, yeah. Talking about something else that is positive, I think Microsoft is giving up on predicting when its U.S. offices will fully reopen. They have realized, like, that whole, hey, we've got all this money that we spent on AI and stuff, but we certainly don't know when these offices are going to open. So let's just,
I mean, listen, let's all give up. Like, it's okay. Like, we can work from home, like, until
let's just all
further
give up.
Notice. No, I mean, just like, let's just be realistic about it. That's all I'm trying to say. Like all these offices are like constantly like, oh, we can reopen in the fall. We can reopen. Like, no, just be like, you know what? We're just virtual until we're not. And that's cool. It's fine. Like, that's the world we live in. You know, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think this is one of those things that it'll be fine eventually. Let's just wait till when it is. Like, let's not keep lurching. And I think we've done some of this, and that's why we've got some of these issues with people not knowing what to do with masks and all this stuff. Cause we're like, you know, mask and don't mask. But if you have this, then don't mask. But if you have this, then do mask. But if you're in this place, mask. It becomes very complicated.
Yeah, it's too hard.
Doing this kind of thing too, like for their employees, it's really hard to plan for life versus saying like, look, we don't know. It's going to be a while. So just
listen, man,
go about your business.
I pretty much have decided that I really enjoy wearing a mask in public because I can basically be giving somebody a like, you know, you're a moron look, and they don't know that I'm giving them that look, you know? And so like, I get like, they don't know if I'm smiling, if I'm like, they don't know what I'm looking like. So it's kind of great because it's harder to read my emotions, you know? So I kind of love it. I'm not going to lie.
I got to say, I hope that mask wearing has become a norm thing. Like many, many years ago, like 20 plus years ago, I spent time in Japan and you would see it regularly there when people were sick.
Yeah.
They would wear a mask. They would continue to go in public, but they would be protecting everybody else from their germs.
Right.
And I thought, this makes so much sense. Like, duh, right? Like, we know how cold and flu gets transmitted.
Yeah, exactly.
It's because you're hacking up a lung in a place with everybody else. And why are you not at home? Mm-hmm. But this very simple solution to be like, you don't have to stay at home. You can go out. Like, I'm looking forward to doing this. Like, when I take MARTA, if I ever take MARTA again to go to the airport, even if I'm not sick, like one day I'm assuming we're going to be on planes again.
Yeah.
I'm planning on wearing a mask on MARTA. Like even if I'm not sick, because I don't want to be sick during my trip.
Hey, listen,
so
why not?
Keep me safe.
I mean, like, you know, there's a reason that colds and flus went down when we're all wearing masks.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, it's cool.
Let's do that. Talking about something else that somebody's doing. Twitter users in Turkey now have emoji reactions to tweets.
So it's just like Facebook reactions, but
yeah. So not just the heart, which the heart before was a something else, wasn't it? It was like a some kind of like button.
I do not remember, but I believe you.
It was a star. Yeah. It was a star.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
it became a heart, and people lost their minds when it became a heart because they were like, "This doesn't mean the same thing as a star." Well, now they're going to lose their minds again because now there's emojis that go with it, and
If we're being honest, it's really entertaining when Twitter loses its mind. So it I'm totally cool with that. Like, in fact, I actually prefer Twitter when it's losing its mind versus when it's not. It's way more fun for me. So, you know.
Exactly. I 100% agree. So Twitter, if there's any message for you from us, keep doing things that make people lose their minds.
So speaking of losing, Epic Games to shut down House Party in October, including the video chat Fortnite mode feature. So I tried out House Party at one point. It was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But it still Zoom just is kind of ubiquitous and better and whatever else. And so I just continued to use Zoom and it just never caught on. And it was a nice try.
The big thing with House Party was you would just turn it on and you'd be available to chat and anybody could just pop in.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of people that I really want to have just pop in onto my phone. So
there's like two people that I want popping in on my phone. Maybe three. If we're not including immediate family, I'm going to go with like two, maybe three people that I'm cool with popping in. Maybe four. Like I can count them on one hand for sure. So we're good.
What we never saw was like House Party, like messes ups, right? Like somebody has it on and goes to the wrong place and they're like, in the middle,
like in the bathroom, and somebody pops into House Party, like,
We never saw that. That probably would have made it take off. Talking about something that's taken off, the U.S. Navy has launched a missile from a ghost ship. Wait, what? Yeah,
dude.
We talked about this before about having autonomous vehicles launching things that kill people.
And that's what this is doing.
That's what this is.
And what's even scarier is the name of the program. The name of the program is named Ghost Fleet Overlord. Come on.
Who is doing their marketing and PR? Like, no, you can't name it Overlord. Do you not understand the connotations of that?
That's what I'm saying.
It should be Bodie McBoatface. It should be Bodie McBoatface.
I feel like there's gonna be this moment. Let's say 500 years from now, and there's gonna be aliens that come to this planet and they're gonna be like, oh, they wiped themselves out. I wonder how they did it. Well, look, they created this autonomous fleet called Ghost Fleet Overlord. Oh, now that makes sense. Of course, that's how they wiped themselves out. That was it right there.
Well, little do you know, the aliens are already here, and we're going to talk about them in a minute.
Yes, we are.
Time for the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable Snowman.
He's not an axe murderer.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot. First up, we're not going to talk about the aliens that are already here yet.
You got to wait for that till the end. They're coming.
Yeah. But how Colossal sold investors on a quest to resurrect a woolly mammoth. So they're resurrecting a woolly mammoth.
They're trying to legitimately bring back the woolly mammoth.
They're trying to do Jurassic Park is what they're trying to do.
Well, and one of the investors is the entertainment company that owns Jurassic Park. Dude, like for real, like that's legit. That's amazing. I
mean, we're going to get killed on both ends. On one end is going to be Jurassic Park, and on the other end is Terminators and Skynet. Like, do these...
Maybe they could fight each other. Like, maybe the Terminator can fight the dinosaurs, and we can just be bystanders.
Maybe the Terminator should be Jurassic animals.
Oh, now we're talking. So we're gonna have, like, mechanical raptors now to run from? Yeah. That's what you're telling me?
They'd be like Transformers.
I feel like mechanical raptors...
Wasn't there a Transformer that was a pterodactyl or something? I feel like there was.
Oh, for sure. But mechanical raptors are way more terrifying than real raptors, I feel like. Like, that's even worse than a Terminator. Like, yeah.
A mechanical raptor?
Like, what would you take on? Would you rather fight a mechanical raptor or a Terminator? Like, that's the question.
Well, I mean, with either one of those, you just get some slick liquid and just pour it on the ground, right? And they die. Right? Didn't we talk about that once a long time ago in that warehouse story where all the robots flipped around and fell and basically crashed because
that's
of,
all. That's all it takes is some liquid. So some liquid soap. Just get some liquid soap. You're good to go.
I was going to say, let's all stock up on oil.
No, oil's not as useful as liquid soap is. I feel like liquid soap is gonna be much better. I want to be very clean and ready for the robot apocalypse. So yeah.
Wasn't there also in Transporter, there was like one fight scene where I think it was oil, that he spilled oil everywhere and he was fighting all those people. And yeah. He was all like covered in oil and they were trying to grab him and they couldn't grab him because he was all covered in oil. You've watched Transporter, right?
Yeah, I believe I have. Yeah. If it's the one I'm thinking of, yeah. All right. So next, just weird article. Strapping a jet engine to your head is a deafening way to stay dry in the rain. So
to lose your hearing. Stay dry, you know.
Well, and possibly like have some vision problems with the vibrations. Like it goes back to vibrations, yeah. Right? Like you have some
The vibrations.
So the concept here is if you jettison enough air around your head, making like a cone of air above your head, then you can walk through the rain and it'll disperse all of the raindrops, which is absolutely true and entirely impractical and stupid. So, you know, like this.
Although, you could do this around a building to create like a zone of no rain right around the building.
Now that would be fascinating. Like I would love to go like to New York in a downpour and stand next to the Empire State Building and just be like, oh, I'm in the air bubble. Cool. All right. Yeah, this is interesting. You know, like that could
It would stink for the people at the edge of the air bubble though, because they're not just getting the regular rain. They're getting like,
triple wet.
Extra super amount. Yeah, I will say the like image of this guy's face as he's doing this, I don't really know what to take of what he's thinking.
I don't know. It's a weird deal, but you know, whatever. But speaking of weird, Sanjay, what's our last weird and wacky here?
Yeah, so here's the aliens. Scientists believe penguins could be aliens after Venus chemical discovery. So apparently, like, there's some chemical in their poop that is only in Venus. It all comes back to poop, by the way.
Yeah,
it does. They always come back to the Roomba or something, but
yeah.
Roomba smeared the penguin poop, and then they discovered some chemicals.
It all comes back to poop. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's what you said. There's a chemical in Venus's atmosphere that's only found on Venus, and apparently the only other place on Earth that it's found is in penguin poop. And so it's interesting to me that the assumption goes immediately to, well, are penguins from another planet, right?
They're like, aliens. Of all the life forms, they're the aliens.
Well, I feel like, is it more likely that they're aliens, or is it more likely that there's something that they're eating related to Venus that's causing them to come out in their poop? Like, that seems a lot more realistic to me. But then again, I mean, maybe penguins are here to just, you know, observe us. I don't know. Maybe, like, we think we're observing them, and really, it's the other way around.
Maybe. So this is a whole, like, long con that the penguins have had, right? Like, we're just going to make it look like we're cute animals, and we're just going to wander around. But really, we're, like, doing things to their society and seeing how they act so that we can take them over. So we can be the penguin overlords.
They're going to be the penguin overlords.
Penguin overlords.
The ghost penguin overlords.
Tech wreck, tech wreck, time to get your tech wreck.
Tech, 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 tech wreck. Chicky, chicky.
Tech wreck. Time to get your tech wreck.
All right, Sanjay, tech wreck time. What do you have for us today?
So it's not exactly a tech wreck.
It's using technology to create. I think you can count
that.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've been on the hunt. You know, I know you like Allbirds. I like Allbirds shoes. Yep. They're going public, by the way. They've got an IPO schedule coming up.
Oh yeah, they do.
Sometimes the issue I've got with Allbirds is that the material there, which is wool, just lets rain in and everything. It doesn't really keep its shape. Certain members of my family have made comments to me about how they look like bedroom slippers when I'm wearing them. So a little self-conscious about wearing my Allbirds sometimes. So I decided to try out Atoms.
Okay.
That's ATOMS. They're not named after you, Adam.
No.
They're Atoms, like in you know, molecular Atoms. And I got to say, I really like these shoes. I ordered originally an 11.5 and they were a little bit too big. Then I got an 11.25. So they have their quarter sizes, but not only that, if your feet are two different sizes, you can actually order two different size shoes. You don't have to get one shoe too big on one and small on the other. Like, you can actually get the proper size for the proper foot, which doesn't seem like it should be a huge innovation, but nobody else does that.
No one does that. It's kind of awesome. Yeah.
The interesting thing is that they only have a couple of colors. There's black with a black sole, black with a white sole, white and gray.
That's it.
Yep. But they actually have more colors. But you can't get them until you buy a pair and you're a customer for 30 days. And then you can start buying the special drops. So they have limited edition runs of all these other colors. And I found like this list of all the, and there's some cool colors in there.
What?
So really awesome. But you have to already be a customer. The other great thing about these shoes is that the laces are elastic. So you tie them once, you'd never have to tie them again. They become slip-on, slip-off shoes.
Yeah.
And the elastic is actually really, really quite nice.
Yeah.
So I like them. I've been wearing them a little bit. They feel really comfortable. I'm a fan. So try them out.
So two things. Number one, I read on their website, they also have like copper lined insoles to help with smell, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
Because copper, you know, whatever.
Antibacterial.
That's it. Yeah. That's what I'm going to say. The other is, how do they compare comfort wise to Allbirds? Because Allbirds are insanely comfortable. So how comfort factor, how do they compare?
So I think they will be comparable. I haven't. So because of this pandemic, I have not been wearing my shoes that often.
Yeah, fair enough.
And you really, what they say is you need to wear them for about 3 to 4 weeks to have the insole mold to your foot. So the insole actually molds to your foot, unlike other shoes. I don't think Allbirds does this. So I think over time, they will get more and more comfortable. I felt like when I first put them on, when they were brand new, they felt like a little weird to me. And by the end of a couple of hours after I'd been wearing them, I was like, oh, these feel really good.
Okay.
Now, when I probably put them on again, they've probably gone back a little bit to their normal shape. So it's going to be a little bit of a break-in period. But I think if I were to wear shoes every day, which I definitely do not nowadays, if I did that, they would break in and then keep their shape.
Okay.
So I think they'll get there. It's just going to take a little bit of time, but I'm liking them and they feel great.
I'm gonna try those out.
And they're vegan. They're completely vegan. And
oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, so nice. I love that. Okay.
So there you go. Yeah. Good for the planet and all that kind of stuff.
I'm gonna have to check that out. And I'll tell you, I had some trail running shoes that mold to your feet, and that it is a nice comfort fit once things mold to your feet.
Yeah.
So, exactly. Okay.
What about you, Adam? What do you have for us?
So I'm going to recommend an app that our friend Jeff recommended to me and I've been trying out. It's called Readwise. And so basically the way it works is you connect it with like Amazon Kindle, and you connect it with Medium, and you connect it with Pocket if you're using getpocket.com and all these different services, and it imports all your highlights from all your books and articles from those. And then once a day, it will serve up highlights from those articles so you can remember the things that you've highlighted and kind of continue to learn from those things. Because the problem with reading books or articles and things like that is you read them once and you highlight things that are interesting you want to remember, and then you never look at it again. This is a way to make sure you do look at it again. And you can even control, like, if there's like one or two books that you really want to remember more than others, you can get those served back up to you more often than others, and so on and so forth. Oh. It's pretty interesting. And they have a free trial. I think it's a 30-day free trial. If you get a link from a friend, I think you get like 60 days. So I actually used my, in the show notes, I used my reference link so I can get more time as well if somebody signs up. So it's pretty interesting so far. I kind of like it. I don't know if I'm going to be willing to pay for it or not. I've got to decide on that, but so far it's been pretty, and they have an app as well. Phone apps. You can scroll through and see the update, the daily quotes on your phone app as well. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
so
that's cool. I just clicked through it. It says Adam's invited you to use Readwise right there. So I probably should have mentioned that on mine too. Mine is also a link that gets you $20 off a pair of Adams. So,
oh, dude, now I'm going to have to buy a pair. That's amazing.
Yeah, so
I love
that. Use that link. But
wait, what color pair did you get? Because I don't want to look like a dork having the same color as you. That'd be really
I got the all gray. Gray shoes. Gray.
So I'm going to have to go gray and white, I think, probably.
Do they have gray and white? I don't know if they have.
No, I meant black and white. I meant black and white.
Sorry, yeah. The black and white looks sharp, too.
It does. It looks real sharp. So. Yeah.
My only concern with the white soles is them getting dirty too quickly.
That's what magic erasers are for. Yeah. Because I've got the Allbirds with white soles as well, and the magic eraser.
Does that do it? That makes it clean again looking?
Yeah, I mean, I don't do the bottoms, of course. Like, well, I let the bottom stay. But yeah, but the size, it gets it real nice looking. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it works really well.
There you go. There's a bonus tech rec right there for you.
There you go. Bonus magic erasers. That's it. All the time.
Yeah.
Sanjay, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
They can find me on Twitter at @Sanjay. That's @Sanjay, or at sanjaypark.com, or also I man with you the Together Letters support line. So send us an email if you're a Together Letters user, and either myself or Adam will reply back to you. What about you,
and
Adam?
It'll likely be Sanjay because he's faster on the draw than I am. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at AJ Walker, on my website at adamjwalker.com. Also at Together Letters on Twitter. Tweet at us there. We'd love to connect with you. Don't forget to sign up for Together Letters. Get a free account. Stay connected with 10 friends, or I guess maybe 9 friends if it's you and other people. But, you know, groups of 10 or less are free. But stay connected through Together Letters. It's a really great way to stay connected. So sign up today.